Well, I want to extend my welcome this morning. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is John Afonso. I'm one of the pastors here. And was it not glorious to see a sunrise this morning? I feel as though Minneapolis has somehow been transported to Seattle for the last month. We just have had tons of rain. So wonderful to see you on this crisp October Sunday. I was actually not in services last week. I went on a trip up the North Shore with some girlfriends. It was very fun and got to see some just gorgeous sights up there. But my friend, who is kind of the organizer of this, I always say she should really just be a trip planner. She invents wonderful adventures. She and I actually had a chance to just do some connecting, and she's really struggling right now in her friendship circles. One night we stayed up very late talking about three friendships that have essentially ended for her, and they ended quite abruptly after a conflict. They had been friends for years and came into this conflict and were unable to move through it. She was hurting a lot about those losses, so we had a chance to pray together. But the longer we talked about it, the more we came to the conclusion that the ability to forgive was actually the critical piece that was missing in each of the relationships. And my friend said she needs to do more work on forgiveness herself, you know, just to strengthen her ability to do that. And as I reflected on that, I really thought, you know, every intimate and long-term relationship I have has required forgiveness to get there. It could be that it's just because I am so utterly broken and flawed, a sinner, my blind spots and my faults end up hurting anyone who gets close enough to me for a long enough time. But interestingly, I find that each person I move deep into relationship seems to have a few faults and blind spots of their own. And if we are going to go deeper in our relationship, if we're going to stay together over the long term, we're going to have to forgive one another. Otherwise, I would end up with a lot of short-term relationships that only go so deep, and then they end. What's true is if we cannot be hurt and then forgive, then we have to settle for polite relationships that stay surfacey. It's like our life becomes a cocktail party in which you have brief conversations and interactions and only know so much about one another. If you can forgive, then you can actually be in a deep relationship with other people as well as yourself. You too have faults and blind spots, and you will hurt your own self. And if you cannot forgive yourself, then you can't truly know yourself, and your depth of emotional intelligence will be limited. Forgiveness is really necessary if we are going to love or be loved by anyone. It's a critical part of love. If you can forgive, then you need not fear other people. Their darkness can only temporarily wound you. With the Holy Spirit empowering forgiveness, human sinfulness and lack can only bruise, but can never break us. And that includes our own human darkness. Jesus seems to promise us a bottomless supply of forgiveness when we allow God's forgiveness to flow to us and through us. And it's still really hard to forgive. We've been walking through the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis. We've discovered him to be really the original comeback kid. He has rebounded from disaster after disaster in his life. And today, we want to look at what happens when he encounters his brothers again for the first time in many, many years. Pastor Mark last week talked about the change in Joseph's story as his life turns around. In one unbelievable move of God, Joseph rises from the lowest position in the empire, a slave in prison, to second in command to Pharaoh. And this meteoric rise does not unhinge Joseph. He is resilient even when vast wealth, power, and influence are given him. He has faced down enslavement, false accusation, imprisonment, being forgotten, and success. None of those things have stopped Joseph from growing closer to his God, growing deeper emotionally, and growing wiser vocationally. But I posit that the hardest challenge lies ahead of him. The hardest comeback of all awaits him in our text today. He will need to face those hate-filled, abusive brothers. And even harder, he will face them as the powerful one whom they are seeking help from. It's a revenge dream come true. Before we get to the text for today, I want to give you a little of what's happened in the story since Joseph's rise to power and the moment that we see him today. Joseph has been interacting with his brothers in chapters 42, 43, and 44. The span of time that has happened in these three chapters is at least a year. Travel was difficult, and the food supplies that the brothers are seeking would last for some time. Joseph has hidden who he was in his first interaction with them. He speaks Egyptian, and he acts Egyptian, and his brothers only know him as a great lord in Egypt. He has been testing to see what kind of men his brothers have become. Joseph actually initially treats them like they are spies, puts them all in prison for 3 days, and then actually holds Simeon, one of the brother, as a prisoner until they return from taking supplies home to their father. Joseph tells them that they must bring the youngest brother, Benjamin, who would be the other son of Joseph's mother, the favorite wife. Basically, Benjamin has become the new Joseph in the family, and Joseph wants to see him. The brothers talk among themselves in Hebrew about their guilt for Joseph's death, and that this Egyptian lord's harsh treatment is actually the justice they deserve for that crime. Joseph actually has to leave their presence and weep when he hears his brother's guilty conscience. Jacob, as the boys return with the food, is very resistant to letting his favorite, Benjamin, leave his side. But when the food has run out and they are all going to die, he does let Benjamin go back to Egypt under Judah's promise that Judah will ensure his return, no matter what it costs. Jacob predicts that if Judah does not bring Benjamin back, he's an old man, and this will be the thing that kills him if he loses this son. Joseph welcomes his brothers with a feast, and he is again overcome with emotion when he sees his brother Benjamin. He plants a precious silver cup in Benjamin's sack of grain and then sends them off, seemingly without a ripple, back to the promised land. But then sends one of his servants to recall them because the silver cup has been stolen. Joseph tells his brothers that the thief must become his slave. And then comes the great moment of reckoning. Judah, who was the one who had the idea of selling Joseph into slavery, steps up And he explains the preciousness of Benjamin to his father. Judah then offers himself as a slave to Joseph for the rest of his life in order to save Benjamin and send him back to Jacob. It is the complete opposite of how he treated Joseph all those many years ago. And now Joseph knows the truth. His brothers' hearts have changed, and they are different men, just as he is now a different man. Let's watch what happens in the climax of this story and Joseph's ultimate test. We'll be reading Genesis 15, verses 1 through 15. You can use the Bible in the pew back in front of you. We'll have the text up on the screen. Use your Bible app. It's a wonderful story to savor. Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed or full of terror were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it was my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly honored I am in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' And then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept on his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." It's a powerful scene. Joseph drops his mask of being a cold Egyptian lord, and he openly and passionately weeps as a Hebrew brother. He tells his story, and he welcomes these men as forgiven and beloved brothers. In fact, that last line, "after that, his brothers talked with him," is a direct end to the story, because we see back in Genesis 37 that Joseph and his brothers could not speak peaceably to one another. So the story ends with this beautiful reconciliation. So how did he do it? How did Joseph come to this place of such incredible forgiveness? Once Joseph knows that his brothers have changed, he is ready to let them into the inner circle of his life. and offer them access to all the blessings that God has given him. So there's three things that I see leaping out from this text, and you might see more, that seem to empower Joseph to offer a God-sized level of forgiveness. The first one is that Joseph has accepted what has happened to him. He tells his story simply. He is the one they sold into slavery. He doesn't soften it or offer them any excuses. He has faced into his suffering. He owns his own story. He doesn't try to make it into a different story. He doesn't compare his suffering to others. He just simply states with total honesty who he is and what happened to him. He recognizes their terror and shock, but he doesn't feed on it, and he doesn't need it. He has dealt with his own big feelings so thoroughly that he doesn't even need to recount to them all the sufferings he's had since he's been in the land of Egypt. It is true that he weeps, but his tears have really very little to do with what happened to him. These tears are about what is possible now that God has healed him so completely. Joseph has already cried all the tears he needed to about his own suffering and injustice. His acceptance of what has happened to him readies him for forgiveness. Second, Joseph has humility and empathy. Joseph knows that his brothers are people just like him. They are people who made a terrible choice in their youth and have lived a long time regretting it. He was arrogant and a little obnoxious, and he probably regrets that too. Humility means he recognizes he has done wrong just like them. He sees his brothers as human beings and not terrible monsters. He actually feels compassion for their guilt, and he tells them to let themselves off the hook. They have suffered enough. The powerful humanizing effects of humility and empathy mean that Joseph is ready to let go of past hurt and not demand any recompense. He wants to reconnect to his brothers as a brother. Notice the weeping and the conversation that ensues as he and his brothers are refamilied. This would not have been possible without Joseph's humility and his empathy. His weeping reveals his heart as his sobs echo through his house and through the house of Pharaoh. We know that that is the sound of a humble and tender heart. Finally, Joseph now sees that God is the main actor in his story. I know that Pastor Mark and I have been a bit of broken records on this point, but it's just such an important part of Joseph's resilience to each setback that comes. Notice in verses 5 through 8, Joseph repeats three times that God is the one who sent him to Egypt. He tells his brothers, don't be angry with yourselves. He doesn't shy away from their crime, but their part in the story seems so small that he can barely see it. Finally, in this moment, he sees God's ultimate plan to transform him into a deliverer for his family and for that part of the world. He sees the transformation God has done in his brother's life, where they now tenderly care for a favorite brother and are self-sacrificingly loyal to their father. Joseph can't believe the wisdom and the power of God. This is such a beautiful story of God's work in and through even the sin and brokenness of human beings. All that Joseph can feel in this moment is gratitude and wonder for his God. Joseph, if we asked him, is there anything God can't make whole and beautiful? Would say, no. God can transform absolutely everything. And that assurance is rocket fuel to his forgiveness. There is no reason not to forgive. This is not about Joseph being a victim or his brothers being perpetrators. This is about a mighty God who moves in mighty ways to save and care for many people. I believe this morning that these are things that empower our forgiveness journeys too, Salem. And I'm just wondering, as you're sitting there today, is there a relationship with someone that you've been thinking about or that comes to your mind even as I ask that question? And I wonder if there might be some forgiveness next step for you. Maybe it's just to take some time to pray and ask God if there is something to do next in your journey, in that relationship that's broken. Maybe it's one of the things we mentioned here today for Joseph. Maybe you need to just accept what's happened to you. Maybe you need to gain some compassion and empathy, or maybe you need to see God's role in that larger story. Now, what's true is not every relationship can be reconciled like Joseph and his brothers were. That takes double transformation on both sides. But what's true is everything that has been done to you can be forgiven through the power of Jesus Christ. At the end of the service, there are going to be prayer partners available at the front. And I'd encourage you, take some time to pray with them about your own forgiveness journey before you leave today. Your story, too, is about a mighty God who moves in mighty ways to care for you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this magnificent end to Joseph's story and the end of our journey with that story as a congregation. Thank you, Lord, for the ways that you empowered his forgiveness journey. And Lord, we want to lift up our own hearts, our own relationships, our own families, and our own circles of friends. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would bring the power of forgiveness to us. Allow us, Lord God, to become God-sized forgivers so that your reconciliation, your salvation, and your great plans for us will be unimpeded. Again, God, thank you for the wondrous gift of forgiveness bought with such a high cost by Jesus. And it's in his name we pray.